This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Games below 500. And you know what? Forget all of this stuff. No, I don't. There's just no need to give you the statistics and how bad it is and what it ranks and when the last time this team was 44 games below 500. You know it's bad. Maybe I'll get to it before before this show ends. But boy, oh boy. You know what? I want to start with Brady Singer. I don't want to start off agitated. Let me give you the phone number. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Hey, if you listen to the On Deck show, you are likely expecting a more upbeat Josh Vernier. I understand that. Right? It was me just 4 hours ago saying, for as down as people have been on Brady Singer so far this season, the only thing that concerns me are the lack of strikeouts. Now, all of the other statistics that reflect a down year for the 26-year-old right-hander, I can point to, well, not excuses. Some may sound like excuses, but I view them as explanations as to why Brady has such an inflated ERA. Honestly, I think there's quite a few numbers that disguise what a professional season Brady Singer has put together. Right today, his 20th start. Nobody in this team has made more starts, thrown more innings, given this team more quality starts. Brady goes 6 innings today. He's now gone at least 6 innings in 5 of his last 6 starts. This might sound strange, but that right there, the fact that Brady's giving you length consistently, that's why I've been so high on this young man for so many years. Because if we're being honest right now, boys got 62 games remaining in the season. Shoot, I told you this months ago. I don't know how they're going to get through this season. Like pitching-wise, I don't know how they're going to get through this season. Brady Singer is helping them grind through the end of this season. If you weren't getting these type of performances from Brady Singer, if he wasn't going six innings in five of his last six, if you weren't getting the length from Jordan Lyles that you're getting right now, man, I shudder to think what the record would look like. The record is already putrid. The record is only one game better than Oakland. Brady Singer today, 9 strikeouts. Earlier today on the On Deck Show, I was reminiscing about his performance 1 year ago, almost to the day. 1 year ago in New York, Brady goes in there and throws 7 innings of one-hit baseball, punching out 10. He hadn't struck out double-digit hitters all year. In fact, he only had 3 starts where he struck out more than 5. Again, today was his 20th start, and just the 4th time he's collected more than 5 strikeouts in a game. Now, that was concerning to me, because when Brady was on last season, from the month of July until the end of the season, Brady was racking up the punch-outs, and you know what the name of the game is nowadays, velocity and strikeouts. Now, eating up innings will get you paid, will keep you in the big leagues for quite a while, but this team needs an ace. This team needs someone that they can rely on. It's tough to rely on a guy that can't rely on the strikeout. Tough to look at a guy as your ace, your number one, the leader of your rotation, if he can't reach into his bag and pull out that punch out in the big spot. Nice to see that today from Brady Singer. 9 strikeouts, only 1 walk. Pitched his tail off. It could have been a lot worse, especially that first inning. Now, the 2 runs that he gave up, no excuses. I mentioned that ERA of Singer's can be deceiving. The 2 earned runs that he allowed today were his doing. A leadoff walk in the first inning, a leadoff double to the 9-hitter in the 3rd inning. His defense wasn't disappointing today. Nick Prado starting a nice 3-6-3 double play in the first inning. Yeah, defense was fine. Brady Singer was even better. This game today was a very familiar plot, at least as it pertains to 2023. There was some good, there was more bad, and the bullpen allowed some runs. Right, that is 2023. There's always some good. Unfortunately, there's always more bad. And basically every night, the bullpen allows at least a few runs. Royals lose 5-2. Again, they're 44 games below 500, my friends, and it ain't even August yet. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Speaking of my On Deck Show, ended the show by talking about Carlos Hernandez and how Mike Petriello of MLB.com, a very respected baseball writer, put Carlos Hernandez down as one of the unsung trade targets of this year's trade deadline, or unheralded possible trade targets. And I asked you this question to end the On Deck Show, and I'll ask you right now before we go to the phone calls. If you're in a opposing general manager and your team is on the cusp of the postseason or in the middle of a postseason fight, how much would you be willing to give up for Carlos Hernandez? Because to me, if I'm the Guardians GM or the Twins GM or the Marlins GM or, you know, a team that's barely hanging on, the Reds GM, I'm not giving up much, if anything, for Carlos Hernandez. Why should I? Sure, there's upside, but there's been upside with Carlos Hernandez. Sure, I have him for years of team control, but he's never pitched in a meaningful game in his life. What have we seen from Carlos Hernandez outside of short the stuff? The reason why we've all been holding our breath for this young man since we saw him in 2020 make it to the big leagues. How much would you really be willing to part to bring this guy in? And when do you give him the ball in these pressurized situations in your fight for the postseason? There's no way he's your closer. I'm not even sure if he's the Royals' eighth inning guy. So is he a championship team's eighth inning guy? I understand the ceiling. If I'm the Royals, we understand the ceiling that Carlos Hernandez has. So it's not as if you're anxious to get rid of him. Now, if someone calls and makes an offer that has something that we like on the other end, yeah, I'll pull the trigger. I'm not trying to say I'm desperate to hang on to Carlos Hernandez. That's the point. The point is I'm not even sold that this guy's anything more than a really good arm with incredible stuff that what appears to me as if he has a difficult time locking in and making the type of commitment to become the type of pitcher that we all want him to be. I know how much talent he has. You know how much talent he has. His teammates and coaches know how much talent he has. He knows it. But does he want it? Not sure about that. So I'm not sure how much anybody should really give up for Carlos Hernandez. He gives up the game. He takes the loss. He's now 0-6 on the season as he gives up a home run to the first batter that he faces. 2-2 in the seventh inning. He comes on to face DJ LeMahieu. Full count offering, fastball up and over the plate. LeMahieu lets that 98-mile-per-hour fastball do the work. Just makes solid contact with it, puts a nice swing on it, lets the pitcher supply the velocity, and it travels over the right center field wall. 3-2 Yankees after the seventh. They would score two more off of Dylan Coleman in the eighth, and the Royals fall for the 72nd time in the first 100 games. Final count, Yankees 5, Royals 2. Let's go to John. You're going to hit leadoff this afternoon. John, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, I think I've given up worrying about the record a long time ago. I mean, you start out the year hopeful, and it was a gut punch early. But, you know, the way things have gone now, I'm more about the glimmers. And I do see glimmers. I saw glimmers today, and I'm always hopeful. But to your point about the trade and the trade deadline coming up, you know, if I'm the Royals, I'm listening for everybody. And that includes, I mean, I don't want to get rid of Lynch. I don't want to get rid of Singer. But there are plenty of teams that are looking for starters. And if they want to overpay for either one of those guys, I would totally be willing to listen. So I don't know what you think about that. But, yeah, I'm even more hopeful. I'm in a better frame of mind at this time of year, given our record than I was earlier in the year. And I know that's crazy, but I think I'm resigned to the fact that this is going to be the worst Royals team in history. And I guess I'm okay with that. And I see glimmers, and I think that would be my thought to leave everybody on is glimmers are good, and we've got some glimmers. So thanks for taking my call, Vern. I appreciate it.
Yeah, John, thank you for making that phone call. Yeah, a lot to get to there. I'm with you. Yes, everyone is available. Brady Singer and Daniel Lynch included. But again, I think most of the guys that the Royals have are at the center of an off-season trade. Because again, Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer. Okay, so you got to put yourself in that other general manager's shoes. So if you're a team that is trying to make it to the postseason or is in first place and trying to hang on to your postseason spot as what? We need to acquire them to be our what? There's no way any team that's in playoff position right now needs either one of those guys to be their number one or their number two, right? We all agree with that. Maybe their number three. I even think that might be somewhat ambitious. But you know what? Just for discussion's sake, let's say you're trying to acquire them to be your number three in the rotation. Again, I think that's ambitious. How much are you willing to part with to bring in the number three in your rotation? Right, this isn't Johnny Cueto. This isn't that type of acquisition. This is a guy that might get a start for you in the ALDS. Might end up coming out of the bullpen. Okay, so how much are you really willing to part with? So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, you're making that type of offer to me. I don't see that happening right now with the deadline. Now this offseason, sure, yeah. And we talked about this a lot on the On Deck show earlier today. Going back to my conversation with Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo, which you can hear on the Odyssey app. Just search Fesco in the Morning or Cody and Gold or The Drive. They all played the interview in its entirety. This offseason, sure, yeah. No, the onus is on the front office to go out and identify prospects in other systems, players in other organizations that they value, that they think are being undervalued by their current organization, and acquire those players. And maybe it takes a package of Daniel Lynch and a young bat from the minor leagues, a young reliever from AAA, well, whatever it takes to bring that prospect to Kansas City, yes, the onus is on Piccolo and the rest of his front office to make that happen. And when it comes to Singer and Daniel Lynch, the off-season's going to find more trade partners, more teams with pitching coaches or pitching development systems that have identified Daniel Lynch as someone that they think, hey, if he came over here, we could make him a lot better than the Royals are. Someone that values Brady Singer maybe even more than the Royals do. You'll have more teams interested in, okay, let's get Daniel Lynch into our spring training. Let him work with our coaches this offseason and throughout the month of February and March, and then we'll put him in the rotation and he'll be our number two or number three, right? Bad teams could possibly attempt to acquire a Daniel Lynch or Brady Singer. So those names to me are more likely, if they're going to be moved, more likely to happen this offseason. Again, just remember where the Royals were in 2014 and 2015. What were those teams looking to do at the deadline? Just get the finishing touches. A veteran leader, a right-handed bat off of the bench in Josh Willingham, a veteran leader like a Johnny Gomes. You need an ace, a number one in Johnny Cueto. You need a solid bat, a utility guy that can hit at the top of your leadoff or at the top of your lineup like a Ben Zobrist. You're looking for finishing pieces. So who on this Royals team do you say that is a guy that a championship team could bring in and he could be their finishing piece, their final touch? Maybe, again, Scott Barlow could help round out your rotation. He could be that seventh inning guy, give you a little bit more depth, make sure you hang on to those six inning leads. Edward Olivares, I guess, could be a right-handed bat off the bench. Now, Nicky Lopez could be a utility guy off of the bench. Yeah, sure, Salvador Perez. Yeah, no doubt. A team that is on the cusp of contention, that needs a leader, that needs a catcher. Sure, yeah, Salvi, no doubt. Other than that, I don't know who on this team is attractive. At the trade deadline for a team that is looking for the missing piece to their championship core, I don't know who on this team that is 44 games below 500 with 62 freaking games still to be played. I don't know who's attractive on this team. Thanks for the phone call, John. A few glimmers, by the way. Michael, Bobby, a few glimmers. Let's go to Jackson in Olathe. Jackson, you're on the postgame show as the Royals lose 5-2. Go ahead. Oh, excuse me. We got Nick in Lawrence. Nick, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Long time no talk. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I mean, the record is atrocious, but I don't know, man. I've been watching Royals baseball for a long time. There's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Talent-wise on the field, I mean, I know we're on pace for about as bad as a record could get, but this maybe I'm crazy. This is not the worst team I've ever seen. My concern, though, approaching the trade deadline is that, and I know, sorry, I'm under an underpass right now. I know that everybody's available, right? But my concern is, you know, if our best pitchers are 26 years old, you know, Singer, who's out there, in great game today, nice to see, love him getting aggressive, going getting strikeouts, haven't seen that in a while. It's nice to see. We know he has it. We know the other guys have it as well. My biggest concern, if we start dealing those kind of guys, and we know that there is, and maybe I'm looking too much glass half full, but again, not the worst Royals team I've ever seen in my life. If we deal those guys, we don't have anybody coming up. And if we trade those guys, we're getting prospects in return. We push ourselves out another couple of years. We're not going to get in James Shields. We're not getting that in return for a trade. We're getting somebody who's going to be high A, double A, that might take a year or two to mature to the major league level. And I don't know, man. I'm not, again, I understand that we trade what we have if the right offer's on the table, but I don't see this team as an utter failure. I think JJ has a really big offseason ahead of him. But I'm not ready to write this team that's on the field playing positions. I'm not ready to write them off. There's too much talent. And if we decide to start trading all of our pitching.
Well, hang on, Nick.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We're getting way too hypothetical. They're not going to trade all of their pitching. They're not going to trade, you know, Singer and Lynch. I would be shocked if something like that happened. But I'm curious, who on this team would you say, I want to watch him play another one, and there are a few names that I have ready to go. I'm just interested in your names. Who are you ready to watch play another 162 games next season of this young core?
Well, I think, honestly, man, and maybe he has become the biggest trade name. Michael Garcia is a baller, dude.
No doubt.
He could make a case for any playoff team, regardless of their contention right now.
I would disagree with that, but I agree with you. Yes, Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, those guys are ball players. I'm not anxious to move them, and I don't think the Royals are anxious to move them. Look, if you like a Royal, I can promise you J.J. Piccolo and his organization likes him as well, and they're not going to give him away for nothing. If you part with a Brady Singer or a Daniel Lynch, you're only going to do it if it makes you stronger down the road. Go ahead.
So my question to you is if we do feel good about those guys and we get rid of a couple of starting pitchers, that really puts our pitching back in a little bit of a hole. Maybe it does help us down the road, but it really doesn't do us much while we
have. I got you, Nick. I appreciate the phone call. No, I got your point, man. Again, you're way too concerned about this hypothetical of them trading their pitchers. I just don't know where that concern comes from. No one's knocking at their door right now trying to get their pitchers. The Royals stink, right? No one's like, oh, man, who's that team right now battling the A's for the worst mark in baseball history? Well, they got to have some good pitchers. Let's go get them. No, you know, that's not happening. So I think your concerns are unfounded, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not going to argue of whether or not this is the worst Royals team of all time. Record-wise, yeah, it's number one by a long shot. They're on pace to lose 117 games. That's too shy of the American League record by any team. Royals' record is 106 losses. Back in 2005. They're on pace to lose 117. Now, your concern, oh, yeah, if they trade Singer and they trade Lynch, yeah, next year is going to be even worse, right? Yeah, no doubt. That's why it's very unlikely they trade both Singer and Lynch. It's unlikely they trade either Singer and Lynch. Our previous discussion was me responding to John and explaining why this year at the deadline you're not likely to move very many guys on this big league roster. The big moves, the eye-popping moves, if they're going to happen, are going to happen this offseason. But that's just my opinion. Yeah, Michael Garcia is a stud, no doubt about it, hitting .285 since the start of June. Bobby Witt Jr. is a baller, hitting .279 over his last 50 games, an OPS of an even 800. It's across 215 plate appearances, 800 OPS. Yeah, the only way you trade a guy like Garcia, Bobby, Singer, anyone that you like, is if you're getting something in return that you like even more, right? So again, the guys that you like, the Royals aren't likely to move. I certainly wouldn't think that. The guys that you don't like, nobody else wants. Those are the guys that have led this team 44 games below 500. Yeah, I don't. The only reason you should be concerned about trades this offseason is if you have no faith in this front office. And if you have no faith in this front office, I would be curious as to why. Right? It's year one. Honestly, I think most of the moves that they've made have been quality. Yarbrough, Lyles, Chapman, Cole Reagans, the trade of Aroldis Chapman. But I appreciate the phone call, Nick. I understand the being afraid of what's around the corner, especially as a Royals fan, because more times than not, it's someone with a sack full of nickels ready to hit you in the face. Royals lose 5-2. Phone lines are open. We'll get back to your thoughts. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals have lost 14 consecutive series to the New York Yankees. Unbelievable. Back with more after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country,
hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
2-2, breaking ball, fly ball, hit well, down the right field line, and that ball is gone. A home run to right field for Nick Prado, his seventh of the year, and his home run ties this game 1-1.
That 1-1 tie would last at least 10 minutes. Yeah. Bottom of the third, Brady Singer gives up a leadoff double to Anthony Volpe. He steals third base and scores on a Gleyber Torres sacrifice fly. Yankees go up 2-1 after three. Royals tie it up with a RBI single. Just a gigantic RBI knock from Michael Garcia as he picks up just about everybody on the team. With that one swing, picked up Nick Prado, who didn't advance on a wild pitch, picked up Drew Waters, who went down swinging in a big spot, picked up Kyle Isbell, who also went down swinging in a big spot. Yeah, that was almost just another classic wasted opportunity with two on and nobody out in the fifth inning. Royals almost squander the opportunity against Gerrit Cole as Waters and Isbell both go down swinging through 99-mile-per-hour gas up in the zone. But Michael Garcia puts a nice swing on a first-pitch fastball down in the zone from Gerrit Cole, grounds it into center field, scores Edward Olivares, and tied that game up at two. Brady Singer would retire nine straight to finish off the third into the fourth and fifth innings, retiring nine straight, striking out six of those nine batters. He struck out nine total, a season high, but he does not factor in the decision as a 2-2 game remains into the seventh inning. Carlos Hernandez comes out of the bullpen, gets ahead of DJ LeMahieu, 1-2. But LeMahieu fouls off, takes a ball off the plate, and then makes contact with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball left up and out over the plate. Lets the pitcher provide the velocity, and it sails over the right center field wall. That made it 3-2 New York. They would score two more in the eighth, and that brings us our 5-2 final score. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Mark in Overland Park. Mark, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I got a question for you. I think one positive note I've seen with the Royals is the play of Freddie Fermin. I'd be interested. I know he's 28. You know, quality catching is always in need at the trade deadline. What kind of value would a Freddie Fermin bring back? Like, say, I look at the playoff teams like Houston, Milwaukee, that look like they're a little void at the catching spot. And I think he could step right in and play for a team like that.
Listen, I'll say this about Freddie Fermin. I would like to see him play more for this team. I'd like to see Salvi at DH a lot more. I'd like to see Fermin behind the dish. Salvi, by the way, hasn't homered in a month. He's 0 for his last 15 since returning from that hamstring injury. What would Freddie Fermin bring you?
A decent prop. I'm not looking for something, you know, nothing big. But, I mean, he'd bring you, what, a bullpen arm or something like that?
Yeah, maybe like a bullpen minor leaguer. Yeah, yeah. I think you're better off hanging on to Freddie Fermin, to be quite honest with you.
Vern, I just look at it this way, right? When Vinny comes back, he's going to DH. Salvi's going to catch. I mean, you can back up catchers, a dime a dozen. I'm thinking he could play for somebody and play every day. That's why I was thinking about it. Maybe, I mean, if they got back what they got back, like for Aroldis Chapman or something like that, could they get that kind of return?
No way.
Okay. No. All right, thanks.
And that's just my opinion. You know, we've all have been wrong countless times. But you said it. Backup catchers, yes, they are a dime a dozen. I'm not saying Freddie Fermin's ability and energy and talent is a dime a dozen, but he's not even a starter for a team that's 44 games below 500. So he's at best a backup catcher on a good team that is sparingly used. But hey, there are no bad ideas, Mark, and I appreciate the phone call. Text line 913-586-7610, the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. Vern, did you say Jordan Lyles was a quality move? Yeah, I did. And I don't know where this team would be without his 102 innings. No, I mean, if you could come up with an answer, what? I'm not saying the team's record would be any better. Actually, I'd feel like it'd be a lot. It'd be worse, to be quite honest with you. Maybe only one game worse. But yeah, as someone that has to watch every single game, yeah, having Jordan Lyles has been good. You know, again, let's treat these guys like a major league franchise. Let's not act like $17 million over 2 years is a lot of money. It's not. I mean, it is in our world, but in their world, it's not a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, Brady Singer's the best pitcher on this team, right? Brady Singer's the leader of this team. Every statistic says he's the best you got. If you don't have Jordan Lyles, I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, Brad Keller still hurt. You know, Daniel Lynch is still starting the season on the IL. Chris Bubich is still done for the season. Okay, right. Yeah, I don't know how we're still acting as if the Jordan Lyles signing is one of the main reasons why this team is 44 games below 500. Now, the only reason why my head hasn't exploded is because of, you know, the signings of Yarbrough and Lyles and Chapman. I shudder to imagine where this team would be without those signings. Did I want bigger names this offseason? Yeah, no doubt. The guys I wanted all signed bigger contracts, better contracts. And even if the Royals would have matched those contracts or slightly overpaid what Kyle Gibson got from the Orioles or Sean Manaea from the Giants or Nate Eovaldi from the Rangers, even if the Royals would have added on an additional $5 million, I don't know if those guys are accepting it. Would you have come to Kansas City or gone to Texas, even if the difference is $5 million? Would you have come to Kansas City or gone to the Baltimore Orioles if you're the veteran Kyle Gibson? Go to San Francisco if you're Sean Manaea. So yeah, Jordan Lyles was indeed a quality move. You're 44 games below 500. How much do you think I'm really trying to build it up? A quality move for an awful team. Awful team, awful season. But you got to play 162. Give me someone that's going to help me grind through it. That's what he's done. That's why I respect what Brady Singer's done so much this season. He continues to take the ball, refuses to make excuses, never looks for an exit. Even in those awful starts that we've seen from Brady Singer, you never see him, you know, taking his time out there, you know, looking towards the dugout, acting as if the shoulder's sore, looking for a pitching coach or a manager to come out there and take him out of the game. No, throw me the ball. I'm still the best option we have. I appreciate what Brady Singer's done this season. I appreciate what he did today. Unfortunately, it's a no decision. Six innings, two runs on five hits, nine strikeouts, and one walk. Let's go back to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Vern, I thought late I smelled a comeback. Turns out it was just gas. The ninth inning? Okay. Yeah, I wasn't holding my breath there in the ninth inning. Royals had two on with two outs. Drew Waters at the dish. He went down staring at a slider, a well-executed slider up and in from the right-hander Clay Holmes. Very nice piece of pitch in there by the Yankees right-hander. But, yeah, other than that, what, the Royals' best opportunity came in that fifth inning that we went over earlier where big strikeouts from Waters, from Isbell, Nick Prado again with another poor base-running afternoon. Prado, the only Royal to reach base three times today. He homered to lead off the third inning, walked in the eighth, and walked in the fifth and walked in the ninth inning. So Nick Prado goes 1-for-2. There were two Royals with multiple hits. Edward Olivares, who has 5 hits and 4 starts since coming back from that oblique injury. And Bobby Witt Jr. went 2-for-4 with a pair of singles. Bobby's team-leading 28th. Multi-hit game. Let's go to Tyler in Pleasant Hill. Tyler, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I'm just curious, if you're the GM of the Royals, what would you do at the trade deadline? And yeah, go ahead.
Gotcha. Thanks for the phone call. What I would do at the deadline? Well, I'm not giving Scott Barlow away. For as much as even I fall victim to it sometime, assuming that Barlow is as good as gone. Of course he's gone. And I do think he will be traded. Because that's a pretty big price tag next year. I'm sure the Royals would love to get away from that $8 million. But again, you got to put yourself in those other teams' shoes. And how do we view Scott Barlow if we're a rival GM? I don't view him as a closer on a championship team. Maybe an eighth inning guy, maybe a seventh inning guy. Okay, so I'm going to acquire a seventh inning guy. And sure, I get another year of control. He's mine all of 2024. But I'm paying him like he's a high-end reliever. Paying him $8 million to be a seventh inning guy, that's pretty pricey. Okay. So I'm going to use that in the bargaining with J.J. Piccolo. Hey, man, I'm paying this dude like he's a closer. He's never pitched in a meaningful game in his entire career because he's played for you guys forever. You guys haven't played a meaningful game since he debuted. So I'm not even sure if he can handle September baseball, let alone October baseball, and you're going to make me pay him $8 million next year? Yeah. I'm not giving you what you even got for Aroldis Chapman. So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, the only way that I would pull the trigger on the Scott Barlow move is if it is something akin to Cole Reagan's. One starter that is on the cusp of the big leagues, or multiple starters that are down in A ball or double A, and you're hoping one of them hits. Just like the Andrew Benintendi deal last year. Royals got 3 pitchers for Benintendi. Really only one of them has hit so far this season. That's Chandler Champlain. So one of those two type of deals. If I don't get that, then I'll hang on to Scott Barlow, maybe move him this offseason. Maybe he comes back and we're paying him a bunch of money to be our closer next season. Who knows? But after Barlow, yeah, I'll move Nicky Lopez. Sure, what do you got? I'll move Edward Olivares. Sure, what do you? I'll move anyone. It's just I'm not expecting many phone calls for Nicky, for Ollie, for Carlos Hernandez, for really even Scott Barlow. Because people know that Barlow's available. They know what the asking price is. They know about that salary next season. They know about his lack of playoff experience. The Royals have been open for business for 2 months now. Everyone knows that Scott Barlow's there. He's waiting by the side of the road. He's been there for months. We're just going to go check out everyone else because there are more teams now joining the fray, more teams willing to part with relievers, more teams accepting that we're on the outside looking in 2023. So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, I'll move anyone. It's just my phone's not ringing. And when I call other teams, they go, okay, it's the Royals. Yeah, JJ, we know, man. We know. You're 44 below. We know we can have anybody on your squad. Again, this trade deadline is not what I'm excited about. It's now almost exactly 10 days away. This offseason is what I'm excited about. I want to see what type of roster turnover we get this offseason, because that, to me, will show all of us just how different this front office is compared to the previous front office. Because you tell me it's an evaluation season, we watch 162 games of basically the same guys. There's no excuses, there's no hiding, there's no spinning the statistics. I just watched it for 162 games. It's pretty obvious who can play and who cannot. Who's going to be a part of a championship team and who is not. Move on from those that are not. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what intrigues me about JJ Piccolo. That's, if I'm him, that's what I'm excited for. The offseason, roster turnover, building a winner for 2024. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Wendell in Warrensburg. Wendell, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Josh, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Okay. I am embarrassed when I see the Royals hit a home run and they put on that silly helmet and walk around the dugout. And in 10 years, when they show replays of that stuff, they're going to be embarrassed if they're not ever already embarrassed. And the Yankees just hit the home run and go up and down the line in the dugout without any extra play. And when did that tradition start? And what are your thoughts about it?
Appreciate the phone call, Wendell. The it's not a Spartan. What are they calling it? The Gladiator helmet. The Gladiator helmet started this season. But teams around Major League Baseball have started doing this over the past 2-3 years, really. You know, the Blue Jays had that suit coat. Anytime you would hit a home run, you'd reach the dugout, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would put that suit jacket on you that had all the countries of the Blue Jays players on the back of it. You know, a lot of teams are doing this now, and I don't have an issue with it so long as it's organic. And somebody made a joke on the plane or in the clubhouse, and that kind of stuck, and now we're all, you know, the laundry cart a few years ago that the Red Sox players, anytime they would hit a home run, they'd throw the player in the laundry cart and shuffle them down the dugout. That was nice. It was neat. I remember the Brewers, after they would hit a home run, they'd run to the end of the dugout and make some sort of face and then flex for the camera. You know, those things seemed organic. This year, early on, it seemed as if everyone was in a rush to do their thing, right? The Minnesota Twins would put on a tackle gear jacket and pull out their fishing line and pretend like they're fishing into the land of a thousand lakes. And the Angels had the samurai helmet and the Homer hose in Baltimore. Every team now does this. Personally, I think most of it is whack. Most of it is just very social media, this generation of, oh, they're doing it, so we got to do it too. Oh, they posted this on Facebook, we got to do it too. Oh, they did that, we got to do it too. That's the feeling that I get from this. I don't think that they'll be embarrassed when they look back on it in 20 years, because this is what kids of that age do. They're doing it. All right, we got to do something too. We're having fun. They can't be having more fun than us. We're also having, you know, that's, I think it's very reflective of this generation. And I didn't know the Yankees didn't do anything. I remember Aaron Judge would always have, you know, his little basketball handshakes that he would do with everyone. He'd do the little Euro step and the fadeaway jumper. I didn't know that the Yankees didn't have some sort of a home run celebration. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that's a reflection of them being above it all. Because some of the greatest players in the game, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, they all go along with this. It's just what the kids are doing nowadays. But yeah, I think a lot of it is silly. I like what Baltimore does, but I think a lot of it is pretty silly. Thanks for the phone call, Wendell. And if it makes you feel any better, the Royals don't really hit a lot of home runs, so you don't have to see it very often. Royals lose today 5-2, the final score. They wrap up the series tomorrow, hope to avoid the sweep against the New York Yankees. Jordan Lyles, your boy, my boy, takes the hill as he squares off with Luis Severino. It's a 12:35 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 11:30. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse and take a dive back into the text line after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The 2-2. Rizzo hits it off the end of the bat, back on the middle. Witt dives behind second, smothers it from his knees, throws to first. Prado's with the stretch, and it's in time to get Rizzo. A terrific play from Bobby Witt Jr., ranging and diving up the middle. He took away a hit and might have saved a run. A crucial second out in the bottom of the eighth inning.
No doubt he saved a run. Jake Eisenberg on the call as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. He saved a run. Now that run still came around to score. But for the time being, he made sure that that remained a one-run game. 3-2 in the eighth inning. Sensational play there by Bobby Witt Jr. Again, though, sadly, three pitches after that, Dylan Coleman gives up a two-run home run to Giancarlo Stanton. And that's how we reach our final score, Yankees 5, Royals 2. My game notes brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. Brady Singer spins his team-leading sixth quality start of the season. Brady on pace for more than 170 innings this season. That would by far lead the team. Would be the most he's thrown as a big leaguer as well. Let's go to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, I think the Royals broke Vern again. I don't know what that's in reference to. If it's the open of the show, you're right. Yeah, I was very frustrated. You want to know why? Want to know why I was frustrated? I'm sick of hearing about, oh, they made it close. They kept battling at the end. It's freaking professional baseball. You know, we don't do this in any other sport. Although, this football team kept it close. Well, maybe you do. I don't. Because it's the NFL. Every game's decided by 3 to 5 points. Do you watch the NBA? It's a game of runs. A team's up by 10 in the first quarter. They could be down by 10 at the beginning of the third quarter. It's the best of the best. It shouldn't be a cavernous gap between the two squads. It should be close. Just sick of giving teams credit for, oh, they kept fighting. They're paid millions of dollars to play the game. Not giving them credit for playing the game until the game's over. You've been outscored by 166 runs this season. Telling me you kept it close. You're chasing down the Oakland Athletics. Not just for worst record in baseball, worst record in American League history. But Oakland is trying to become the worst team in American League history. And you keep fighting them for that crown. From the 913, Vern, why would you bring in a guy with an 11 ERA to face Giancarlo Stanton when you had a guy with a 3 ERA on the mound? Well, again, you're staring way too much at ERA. You know what? Do you know their names? Well, you know what? I'm not going to defend anything. Okay, you wanted Austin Cox to stay in there. You wanted the lefty to face Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, yeah, maybe that was the difference. You wanted the Royals to lose 3-2 instead of 5-2. I mean, righty-righty, you've heard of all that. Anyway, I mean, complaining about which reliever gives up the lead to me is just so silly. Again, the Royals bullpen consists of Scott Barlow and seven other faceless individuals, with all due respect to each and every one of them, that worked their tail off to live their childhood dream of being a big leaguer. But You're 44 games below 500, and you're surprised the bullpen's not good? Now, Dylan Coleman, Austin Cox, Nick Whitgren, Carlos Hernandez, Taylor Clark, Jonathan Heasley, Jose Quas, take your pick. They're all the same. Scott Barlow, large gap. Fine. Carlos Hernandez, and then another large gap, and then everyone else. You want Carlos to be different? Fine. Sure. Yeah. No, he's something else, all right. Hernandez gave up the game today, by the way. Lost the game, at least. Gave up the leadoff home run in the seventh to DJ LeMahieu. Carlos Hernandez is now 0-6 on the season. Spike in St. Joe writes in, Vern, I've been disappointed in the team not doing the fundamentals this year. I think we probably would have at least another 10 wins if they worked on the fundamentals. Well, Spike, they work on the fundamentals. That's what spring training is. You don't practice much during the season because you're playing every single night. I mean, you work, you take ground balls, and you, take infield together. You'll work on pickoffs, but it's not true practice because you don't have 2 days off in a row. Now, working on fundamentals is done in the minor leagues, is done in spring training. You should have that stuff sewn up by the time you make it to the big leagues. But in evaluation season, when it's all young guys, all inexperienced bats and pitchers. Now, I'll agree that they would have another 10 wins if they executed the fundamentals. But I'll push back. They've worked on them. They're just not executing those fundamentals. But yeah, 10 wins is a lot. And I don't think you're too far off, Spike. Base running, defense, executing offensively, right? Doing what the scoreboard and the count are asking you to do, what the game situation is asking you to do, put the ball in play, don't strike out. Yeah, I think it's a 10-game difference if this team was able to execute the fundamentals. Sad to say, but I think it's true. Rally Mantis says Bobby Witt Jr.'s got to make better decisions on the base paths. Yeah, you're talking about what happened there in the fourth. If you missed it, it's 2-1 New York. Bobby's leading off, and it's a swing and bunt up the third base line. It looks like it's rolling foul, and upon further inspection, it did roll foul. And once the ball went foul, DJ LeMahieu, the Yankees third baseman with his glove, brushed it completely foul. You've seen infielders do this. Ball crosses the white line, you knock it further foul so it doesn't roll back fair. But the umpire said that was a fair ball, even though it wasn't upon further inspection. He calls it fair ball. Can't review it. And DJ LeMahieu knocks the ball away, and he's frustrated. And Garrett Cole, the pitcher who was over there watching this thing roll foul, Garrett Cole's frustrated as well. But nonetheless, Bobby's on first base with that bunt single. But as Bobby's rounding first, he sees the frustration on the face of Garrett Cole and DJ LeMahieu as it looks like their frustration has them taken out of the game to where they're mad at the home plate umpire calling it a fair ball more so than paying attention to Bobby Witt Jr. So Bobby takes a chance and tries to take second base. As I'm watching it and went back and watched the replays, I think Garrett Cole set up Bobby Witt Jr. on that. Go back and watch it. I think Garrett saw out of the corner of his eye Bobby getting froggy around first. Because if you watch Garrett Cole and the way that he approached that ball after DJ kind of knocks it further foul, Garrett Cole in one very calm, very, well, I want to say lackadaisical, but I think he was sly like a fox. I think he was putting on for Bobby. I think he was acting as if he was being lackadaisical because he calmly just reaches down, nonchalantly stands up, pretends as if he's not looking at Bobby, and then in one fluid motion throws a strike to the second baseman who lays the tag on Bobby who's trying to advance to second base. I thought it was Garrett Cole. I thought that was terrific baseball IQ. I don't know if it was a bad decision for Bobby. I thought it was a nice okey-doke, a rope-a-dope there by Garrett Cole. Appreciate you listening, Rally Mantis. 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, this Royals team is going to go down as the worst team in the history of baseball since they went to 162 games. 44 below 500. Vern, I've never heard of a worse team in my life. Well, the Mets lost 120. The Tigers in 2003 lost 119. This Royals team right now is on pace to lose 117. So there have been worse teams before. Not in Kansas City, but there have been worse teams before. I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but that's the case. Raj in the Ozarks writes in, Vern, the Phillies have three top prospects, all right-handed pitchers. Two are top 50 in all of Major League Baseball. Ought to reach out to them for Scott Barlow. Yeah, no doubt. Again, the Phillies know about Scott Barlow. They know the asking price. They know his ability. They don't need a closer, right? They would look at him as a seventh-inning guy at best. But I don't think you're getting a top 50 prospect. Again, you got Cole Reagans for Aroldis Chapman. Cole Reagans, who I'm not, I don't say that to dismiss him. He's just not a top prospect. He's 25. He was once a top prospect, once a first round pick, but he's been passed up by other starters in that Texas organization. Found himself as a in between guy, a long guy, a reliever for that organization. That, in my opinion, that's the type of player that you can get for Scott Barlow. Or three young lottery tickets. Now, top prospects, guys that are top 50 in Major League Baseball, are not viewed as lottery tickets. Those guys need to be sure things. And Royals don't have anybody in the top 100. So they don't have any sure things right now in their minor league system. But lottery tickets, yeah, I mean, you can go and, again, just like I mentioned with the Benintendi trade, three lottery tickets, or like the Chapman trade, one guy that you feel like can jump in your rotation or jump in your big league roster right away. Those are the type of returns I think you can get for Scott Barlow. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Vern, to that previous caller, who cares if they trade Brady Singer and Daniel Lynch? They haven't even won 30 games this season. This team is garbage with them. They'll be garbage without them. All right. It's one way to look at it. Personally, I don't want the Royals to trade Daniel Lynch or Brady Singer. I'm okay if they do, if the return is right, of course. But if you've been listening to this show, you know since May, I've been wondering aloud how this team was going to make it through 162 games. Since May, I've told you that we should probably start talking in the terms of 2025. Because I don't know who the heck is going to pitch for this team in 2024. Well, we're more than 3 months removed, or almost 3 months removed from the first time we had that chat on this show. The who the heck's pitching for this team next year. All right, I was asking that question before Daniel Lynch returned. I was saying that, with Keller being done and Bubich, who knows when he's going to return. The only thing in May that I knew this rotation was going to have in 2024 was Brady Singer and Jordan Lyles. That was it. That was it. Lyles and Singer. And you ain't going nowhere if Singer and Lyles are your one and two. But okay, now as we get close to August, you have Daniel Lynch and Cole Reagans. Hey, shoot, Ryan Yarbrough's pitched well. Okay, so now as you look to 2024, it's Lynch, it's Singer, it's Reagans, it's Lyles, it's Yarbrough. That's your one through five. That's still not good enough. In my opinion, that's not good enough to compete for the division or a wild card spot. But it's a much better spot than where you were in May. And if you get rid of any of those names, any one of those five, especially the one that I named right out of the gate, Daniel Lynch is the one. Brady Singer's the two right now. You get rid of those guys, you're staring down the barrel of another 100-loss season. So I'm not eager to part with either one of them unless the right move comes along. Because even with them, yeah, to your point, I still think it's a squad that's going to finish below 500 next year. But without them, 100 losses. More than likely, right? 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Vern, the only two that we need to keep, writes the 913, are Brady Singer and Bobby Witt Jr. Anyone else can be had for the right price, even Salvador Perez, which I hate to say, but we must improve the minor leagues. The Yankees would be a good fit for Salvi. All right, 913, thank you very much. I remember when you guys wanted to crucify Rex Hudler for saying something similar. From the 816, Vern, you have to fire everyone. JJ and Q, I'm sorry, but this record reflects a cleaning house. This is Major League Baseball. This is an awful 100-loss season. Fire everyone. All right. Yeah, and you're entitled. I understand where that thought comes from, but if they fire everyone, I lose any faith I have in John Sherman as an owner, because then it just seems like he's flying by the seat of his pants. Just every few months, let's fire someone new and promote someone else and have a game plan and stick with it. Again, this is year one of J.J. Piccolo, year one of Matt Quatrero. I think it's silly. I think it's unfair. I think it's poor leadership if you abandon your plan 1 year in. That shows you never really believed in your plan, which means you don't know how to make plans, which means I question your leadership ability. So I understand where that comes from, but you better hope that doesn't happen, because if so, I don't know how much I want to give John Sherman the right to build a new stadium. I don't know how much longer I want him around if this is a guy that's just changing things willy-nilly, year in and year out, doesn't really stick to anything. That's poor leadership, poor ownership. I don't think that's going to happen. Jordan Lyles on the mound tomorrow in Game 3 of this three-game set in the Bronx. It's the finale. Royals trying to avoid a sweep. It's Jordan Lyles squaring off with Luis Severino. It's a 12:35 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 11:30. Special thanks to Blake Schneiders for the help back at the studio. Great job as always. 100 games down, my friends. 62 to go. Boy, oh boy. I'm trying to think of something positive to end it. Hey, nice job, Brady Singer. I see someone on the text line says Brady Singer should ask for a trade. Hey, I wouldn't blame him. But keep pitching well, Brady.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.